Direct from Fort Meade, Maryland, this is DinFos Live.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of DinFos Live. I'm Major David J. Murphy, a DinFos instructor and your host for today's program. On this month's episode, we're talking all about the military bands and their importance towards achieving commanders' objectives. Joining us to discuss the Air Force bands are the chiefs of the Air Force Bands Divisions, both outgoing and incoming. First off, I'd like to welcome to the stage Lieutenant Colonel Michael Mensch. Welcome to the program, sir.
Hey, thank you.
And Jason Plosh. Welcome to the program, sir. Please have a seat. All right, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Of course,
it's our pleasure.
Before we get on with the program, I, of course, want to let everyone watching know that if they have any questions for our guests, to please leave them down in the comments below, and we might just read them on the air. All right, gentlemen, why don't we go ahead and get on with the program. First, why don't you go both tell me a little about yourself and your careers in both the military and the band.
Sure. I started playing trumpet around the fourth grade, maybe. And that got me through college. I got a degree in education and started teaching high school for a number of years. And then went and got a master's, taught a few more years of school, and saw an ad that they were looking for music directors and conductors in the Air Force. And I applied. And that was 1997 and was stationed at Lackland Air Force Base, DC, Travis, Wright-Patt, Germany, and then the Pentagon. So it's been quite a great career.
Indeed.
Very similar trajectory through school and public school teaching. And then I enlisted into the Air Force as a airman, musician, trumpet player for 7 years at Wright-Patt.
Very cool.
And then someone planted the seed to perhaps pursue commissioning and a very similar track in the Air Force band officer world through a handful of assignments, and just got back from PACAF at Yokota Air Base. Mm-hmm. And we'll replace Colonel Mensch here in just a few weeks as a division chief.
Okay, great. Well, let's get started with, I think, what probably is the most important question, and I think important to those who are maybe outside the band community, is why does the military need a band? What do you provide as an asset to commanders?
Yeah, that's, of course, the crux of the all questions, right, is why do we have bands? And I think it's a long answer. It's a traditional answer. Mm-hmm. But, you know, maybe what we can kind of talk about today is how do we use music as a communication tool to set the tone, to lay messaging on top? And have that settle a little more uniquely than, you know, any other way that public affairs can communicate with people. So, you know, bands, we have a tradition of honoring, inspiring, and connecting. Mm-hmm. We honor our nation. We honor those who have served. We honor, of course, our service and those serving by playing ceremonies or anthems or cocktail music, as it were, for mm-hmm. dining events. We inspire patriotism around the world or around the country, and we inspire service, both for the Air Force and any other form of service for the government. And then we connect people in very unique ways that the military may not be able to connect directly with them. The bands offer a very low threat and flexible way to connect with people. So that's kind of, you know, how we're used in the military, both in a traditional sense as well as in a communication and information sense.
Okay, great.
And I'll add that part of the connect piece, and especially in the United States, is that within within a military installation, sometimes behind the fence, it's a little bit of a mystery what happens on an installation. Yeah. And military bands, Air Force bands, are one of the few entities that are outside the gate.
Yeah.
Much like perhaps like an air show or a static display, and it's another way for the uniform to be connected to the American public. Especially in a day and age where there is a little bit less and less of a connection to the military, mm-hmm. Than maybe in generations past. So that has really come to the fore, I would say, in the last 10 years or so.
Yeah, absolutely. So talk to me a little bit about some of the actual functions that the military band provides some of the instances that you provided sort of services to the commander. What kind of functions have those included?
Yeah, we have that internal traditional side, whether we're doing ceremonial performances or performing at Arlington National Cemetery or any of our other national cemeteries. And that's kind of a traditional use of bands. But one of the things that we're really proud about what our bands can do as a capability for public affairs is take a message and couch that in a musical form and be able to communicate it to a vastly different group of people, mm-hmm. right? So whether we use our tools of a jazz band or a rock band or a very unique ensemble or solo vocalist or anything that we can generate, we're going to put that message in front of an audience. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not going to take my most classically trained opera singer mm-hmm. or even a piano player to play the national anthem at a NASCAR event, or mm-hmm. my classical concert band, the Crown Jewel ensemble, mm-hmm. to play a national anthem at a NASCAR event. But you know, having a rock band there or having a vocalist there to present, that's the message that we want to pursue. I'm not going to take a concert band and go into a country where maybe they had problems with Germany in 1940 mm-hmm. and play Wagner music. I'm going to be very careful about the communication tool of music in that cultural environment. Mm-hmm. But for our commanders, it gives them air access and basing, right? Mm-hmm. That's what they're looking for.
Right.
And Air Force bands allow the access for those messages around the world, whether again it's pre-STEM students at a junior high,
right,
or it's the White House or a King's Palace in a foreign country.
Sure.
That bands give you the access to carry that communication message forward.
Yeah. And what's very apparent is that, especially in an overseas environment, that an opinion of the American people can be through their pop culture and perhaps through their music as well. And so when we as Air Force bandsmen, as other military bands, have some access, say in Japan or in Germany, or even touring South America, where we can bring a little bit of the American culture, sometimes the simplest things, such as an American, when we're in, say, the Philippines, it doesn't matter that we're an Air Force, they just see American military. Right. But they see the Americans playing American music, and that is, by definition, already it's a connection, and using the power of music to do that. And so that, again, gets back to the priorities that that were set forth to do.
Let me give you another example of the way we can communicate and change and be very flexible in a split second. We were asked by the embassy in Belarus, and this is, back in 2013-14.
Wow.
The embassy there noticed that there might be a shift in the government where we would have an opportunity to bring in some additional diplomats that had been kicked out years before.
Yeah.
And so the chargé called up the band and said, hey, would you mind coming out here? We think we have an opportunity to show American support through the use of the band, and we might down the road be able to shift some of our diplomatic presence in the country. So we said, sure, we'll figure out how to do it. And we showed up in Belarus and played at a couple of different communities, but the main event was to play in their May Day parade and march in their May Day. And this is just what you think it is, with tanks and soldiers with tight jaws marching down the street. And here comes the American military band in front of the grandstands with President Lukashenko and all of his military and diplomatic leaders there on the grandstand. So we had to make a decision. What are we going to do to play in front of him that will make him happy enough to say, okay, I trust America? Well, at that point, the only thing that we could possibly play was not rock and roll. It was not jazz swing music. It was a military march. Mm. Yeah. And that's what he expected. That's what spoke to him. That was how we encapsulated the message of trust at that moment with him. And so we went with hundreds of thousands of people lining the streets and played the Air Force march right in front of him, saluted. He saluted back. We moved on. Half a block past the reviewing stands, we turned into the crowd. The people parted. We dropped our instruments. They just started swarming us and singing, and we picked the instruments back up, played a little Glenn Miller for them. It was like we were being carried off into their hearts. And, you know, it's that kind of flexibility and communication power that we can change, you know, from the maintaining a status quo to changing the hearts and minds and, you know, of the youth. And you know, you win a government, you win over the people, you win over the country. Sure. And so we have that unique ability to do that.
That's great. You know, public affairs and bands, obviously we have a pretty symbiotic relationship in many ways. And so talk to me about how bands can support public affairs actions and how public affairs professionals, many of which are probably watching, can use and leverage and utilize the band to help them succeed in their communication objectives.
Yeah.
Public affairs bands have, I think, definitely in my time in the Air Force, like you mentioned, the synergy has grown exponentially. And knowing that not only bands can leverage PA to help further perhaps a commander's priority, especially say in the United States, if there's a basing issue or just outside the base, certainly we are a small surgical strategic capability. There's not a band everywhere, but with enough planning, can get after a boss's priority, say, for perhaps like jet noise outside of a military base, Air Force base. Sometimes being able to work with the PA shop directly with enough lead time to set up, say, a concert or a thing where perhaps maybe the wing commander hasn't had the be able to have the relationship with the community. But this is it sets the potential up so that they can meet and say, here's the why behind it, and how can we meet in the middle, perhaps change flight hours or times. And we've seen that happen. And that's one tactical example, I think, that that has borne itself time and again in the recent years.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't want to say that. You know, we are the cause of change, but we can offer that platform to bring people together and use music, the right, you know, form and genre of music to get those people thinking the same, on the same wavelength. It's kind of similar to why we sing in our houses of worship, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's the same message, but it might be presented by gospel or praise band or rock and roll or even a cantor with an organ in the back. And, the people who attend that service are going to be you're coming in with all sorts of different thoughts and matters of the day. And when they come to that location and they hear that music, it puts them all in a space to hear a message. Mm-hmm. And that's what our bands can do is, all right, we have problems at Cannon Air Force Base because the V-22s are having overflying issues and the commander needs to get access to this runway so that they can land there again. And the band offered that commander an opportunity to bring people together and share a moment of cultural experience, but also be there to say, you know, this is why we train.
Yeah.
We have to do it because we're going to be called to do it somewhere else in the world.
Yeah.
And we're sorry that we're bothering you right now, but our folks need to train, and we need access to this airport, and we need to fly over this forest. So, again, it wasn't the band that did it.
Right.
We didn't make that change. It was the wing commander. But PA gives us the access to those senior leaders, whether it's a wing or a MAGCOM or even DAF, to take those priorities out or get those priorities and then communicate them out. Another example, just recently, we've been struggling with recruiting efforts. Mm-hmm. Air Force, it looks, knock on wood, is going to meet their goals.
Right.
But a few months ago, the chief was very worried about it, and he sent a note through public affairs saying, we need to get on this and try to fix it.
Sure.
And so public affairs came to me and said, Mike, how are we going to do this? And so we started working with different detachments under the recruiting service and coordinating bands with them.
Right.
Case in point, sending a rock band to a NASCAR event. Mm-hmm. Yes, we have a huge recruiting presence at that NASCAR event.
Yeah.
But what the band was able to do was to draw them immediately, 1,000 people immediately to that recruiting space.
Right.
And it doubled, tripled their inventory for that day or that event.
Yeah.
Again, the band didn't recruit, but it was able to connect those people to the recruiters and get them through the doors.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I personally have used the band myself. Actually, we had an initiative on our base when I was at Keesler Air Force Base. I wanted to express a viewpoint of the commander, and I used music to do that. We actually made a music video, and we worked with band members to have them sing and compose the music. So that was a ground tactic that we utilized, and very happy to have the band support in that effort.
Yeah, I've seen many occasions where bands and PAs have gotten really creative working together. And, we both have our missions, right, that we have to do. We have to make sure that the boss is covered as PAs, and the bands have to get out and tour these huge areas connecting, with every American hometown. But those moments when we can kind of sit down and say, let's work on something together and get this done, really is a very effective communication objective for both of us.
Absolutely. So, I've been teaching at the schoolhouse for about 3 years now. And one thing I notice every so often is we get a band officer come through the public affairs and communication strategy qualification course. And usually they're an excellent, stellar student. In fact, the last iteration, they were our distinguished honor graduate. So the number one in their class.
Jace Conyers,
yeah, absolutely, an excellent student. And so I'm curious then, why does the Air Force send its band officers through the public affairs training course here? What value does that bring to the band in the Air Force?
Yeah, you went through that a couple of years ago.
I did the math, and it's been a little over 11 years since I went to, it was PAQC.
Ah, yes, so, of course.
A slightly different iteration, but, and it was, I think it started, it was kind of an experiment at first. As the synergy grew between band and PA, that some younger band lieutenants came through, and it bore more fruit than anybody could have thought.
Right.
And so I think now about 85% of our officer corps has come through the schoolhouse.
Right.
And to my knowledge, at least en masse, the Air Force is the only one that sends folks through the school. And there's two things that stick out to my mind that are really important. One, that it's definitely the joint feel, and sometimes it's the first, even though it's school, you're exposed to the joint environment, and a lot of that opens your aperture faster than just about anything. And the second piece is a lot of times, both on the enlisted and the officer side, the training happens before you're in the military. So you've been focused in a conservatory setting or as a school teacher or whatever you are as a musician. So you've honed your craft. And so being able to come into the Air Force and then come to the schoolhouse, it gives you a greater sense of what the mission is and what the mission can be.
Right.
And especially our younger officers, we're both a little bit older now, but our younger officers come back to a person coming back from the schoolhouse here and have lifelong, and I still have friends that that I know, and some of them retired, but there are still a few that are still active, and we still stay in touch in the PA world, and it's only gotten better.
Yeah. I think the Air Force is special in that public affairs itself as an umbrella in the enterprise sees bands as that communication capability. And
right.
so, as musicians, we spend our lives locking ourselves in closets, practicing our instruments and making sure that we're perfect. And that's all we know is band and music and orchestra. And to come into the Air Force and experience what music does for the military around the world, we want them to break out of that education band mold very quickly. Right. And the best way to do that is to send them to the same qualifying course in the same enterprise of public affairs that everybody else goes to. And kudos to you and your team, because the iterations that have happened since the 11 years that Colonel Plash has gone through have just been outstanding. That talking to Jay after he graduated from he said had nothing but huge praise. I know in the past, some of our folks have gone, well, I don't even know why I'm here and this and that, but. Maybe that's also a credit to the type of officers that we're hiring these days, too, who are open to the power of music absolutely. And as a communication vehicle.
Absolutely. I think it's very valuable for them to have that knowledge and experience that our PA officers do.
Absolutely.
So we've got a question from social media. Michael asks, how do you gather metrics that measure effectiveness of different military music objectives? So metrics, right? That's a big thing. We harp on that when we talk to our students about trying to figure out how do you evaluate the success of any given tactic, strategy, or objective, right? So how do you measure effectiveness?
Yeah, boy, that has been the hardest thing since, we started banging garbage cans together is, how can we prove that this is bringing people together? How can we prove that this is, the military is all about the battle damage effects, right? Mm-hmm. What are the metrics of the effects of this weapon system?
Right.
Even in the commercial world, their metrics rely on, the money to sustain themselves. Yeah. What are the metrics that we can use to help the military know? I'm rewording it 100 times. That's sure. the question he asked. Yeah. I would love to know the answer. Yeah. How many times can I count smiles on people's face and then show it to a 4-star and say, see what I did for you?
That's right.
And I'll let you answer in a sec, but there is a wonderful group of people in the Army up at West Point, and they are part of West Point as well as part of the Army band up at West Point. The West Point Army Music Research Center or something like that. And they are tied into all of the research aspects, not just at the academy, but around the country.
Yeah.
And have been looking into these types of things to see if they can't get an answer. And, hopefully at some point we'll have a reasonable idea that we can prove. And we already know, without a doubt, that listening to music changes the brain waves in people's minds, right? Sure. But what does that mean immediately after a concert? What does that mean to a grandmother after our concert or 2 weeks from our, does she go home from the concert and see her high school grandson and say, I never told you about your granddad and what he did in Korea.
Yeah.
And then that grandson, a year from then, graduating or becoming a senior in high school, saying, I remember that conversation with my grandmother, and he enlists. And then, 10 years from there, or 20 years, and he's the Chief Master Sergeant of, the Air Force. And, how do we measure that?
Yeah.
And
there is, in the information age that we're in, and in the information environment, there are markers and waypoints that we force a message, or we send a message through the music piece of it, and we see what gets bounced back through the data mining part of it. So there's with the huge amounts of metadata that are coming, we are absolutely getting closer to quantifying that warm fuzzy, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
But there are times that you want to look for what you have shaped in the information environment,
yeah.
and And then there is the, there is this, sometimes there is just the moment. There is, what have you created in that moment? Yeah. And yeah. we still don't know, part of that West Point Research Center is what are the 5, 10, 25-year effects of sure. of a singular point in time. Because many, many folks that are our age can remember the first concert we went to or one of the first road trips we did that involved a music festival. Mm-hmm. And so there are ways now to dive into that on the military music side.
Okay. Yeah.
And find those answers.
Yeah. yeah. And I know Mike's got another question. I don't know if you're going to ask it. I saw it pop up. But let me give you one more example of how we measure. Right? It's based on the objective. And if we can see a push or a needle sliding towards an objective, for mm-hmm. instance, in Belarus.
Yeah.
Again, in 2008, Lukashenko kicked out all 90% of the diplomats. He yeah. wouldn't mm-hmm. allow them to come right. in. He lowered the embassy staff. They had been trying and trying and trying to get diplomats to be able to come into the country above the waiver for 5 years. And we couldn't even have an air attaché mm-hmm. there. All right. So this was a huge effort, and it would have supported UCOMS, you know, the eastern edge of NATO, right? It would have given us some buffer rooms, et cetera. It was a huge priority.
Yeah.
So we went out and we did a performance that allowed an UndersecDef to have access to Ukraine.
Sure.
He went in there, he had a meeting, he pulled out. Yeah. They said, send the band one more time. Band went the next year.
Right.
Came back out, that undersecretary went in with an army military attaché.
Yeah.
Military attaché stayed. You know, it wasn't the band that did it. It wasn't the band that made that effect happen. It was all of the power of government to make that happen. The band was just there to set the tone. The, you know, we don't know how many or how much that NASCAR event in Daytona affected the recruiting goals for the recruiters, but we know that it at least set the path forward to connect people with the recruiters. And there are cases like that all the time. What were we able to do with the band? Mm-hmm. Another case, one more case. Sorry, Mike.
No, it's okay. You'll get this question asked.
Yeah. So 2014-15, the Air Force and Joint Planners in UCOM were trying to figure out a way to build a bridge into Ukraine and right. train with their militaries.
Okay.
And the Air Force specifically, the Air Force A5, the Air Staff Planners, were trying to set up an air exercise.
Okay.
And every time they'd go and have meetings, you know, the Ukrainians would be very friendly, but, you know, it was like building a relationship over and over.
Sure.
So in early 2016, the A5 colonel came over to, I remember distinctly, came over to the band and said, you know, we need you to sustain this relationship. Because every time I go back, they forget who I am. Mm. So I just want you to go into Ukraine every 6 months, every four, yep. three times a year. Just go yeah. into Ukraine, do a few concerts, play at the... with the military band there. Mm-hmm. And so we started doing that. Yeah. And he was sending in doctors and all of these other low-cost opportunities to sustain relationships.
Right.
And finally, I think it was either the end of 2016 or 17 when we finally had our first air exercise with Ukraine. Again, it wasn't the band that did it. I'm not going to take credit for that at yeah. all. But we were enabled that relationship to be sustained and eventually get to the point where the planners were able to have that air exercise, which is, you know, that military cooperation that we established back in 16 and 17 mm-hmm. is still, you know, proving useful yeah. Today. So, yeah, it's very hard to manage. Here in the United States, it's so hard for us. we say, oh, we're going to go play at HBCUs, and we're going to, you know, have an initiative to do
historical that. Historical black colleges and universities, right?
Exactly. Thank you. And, you know, we might go and play and then forget about them for 4 years. And, you know, we've missed that sustainable relationship.
Right. Sure.
So we, you know, we have to be very careful about, you know, going back and continuing to develop relationships with people. So
it sounds like Ben supplies a somewhat intangible but real effect that, you know, can be led to in helping achieve effects. We have a question from another Michael from social media, which you know, lends itself to exactly what you're talking about, because you've mentioned obviously qualitative data. So they're asking here, how do you translate the value into, of course, concrete numbers that a band's presence has been effective? And I think that's a challenge not only for the band, but any sort of PA office that's trying to generate results and impacts from any community engagement, because you go out to the community and you have to be able to evaluate how they reacted to your presence, right? So is there any way that you have figured out to measure with concrete numbers that you can report up to leadership, say, you know, we did this thing and it had this concrete numerical impact on the public we were trying to reach?
So yes and no. The concrete numerical piece of it, you can do you know, a cost per audience member or gallons of fuel spent per XYZ, which is useful as a data point. But it's usually in we know in the information environment that we're looking for is much more squishy, and again, in the last 15 years, really we measure a lot of things out of social media.
Sure.
Print news is a little bit, you know, certainly has its competition with the social media world. You know, a case, an example, or is the PACAF band just recently in Mongolia, Ulaanbaatar, next to the Russian border, through working through the embassy and the PACAF priorities with their planners. And the Air Force band, a small 7 or 8 piece, like a popular music group, performing with Mongolian artists, who is in a studio similar to this with plenty of technology. Mm-hmm. And that's how, in a very like pro-Russian town, there's Americans playing American music. Yeah. And so the social media, first of all, was a spike compared to what the normal heartbeat was. And it was a spike in positive Americans have hearts. Yeah. I had no idea that Americans were so cool, something along those lines. Okay. I don't know how much more concrete you can get. Now, that is just a blip in time and another data point, but it starts to coagulate together that when you shape the information environment like that through music, that you can start pulling in numbers. Now, we're not, you know, it's hard to sustain, you know, it's almost like a post going viral.
Sure.
As soon as you try to make something go viral, it doesn't. Yeah. But you can pull those elements in so that you are giving yourself the best chance each time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I hope at some point, you know, we'll get to a place where large data models will allow us to, you know, do immediate translations around the world.
Sure.
or pick up habits and spending habits here in the country. Yeah, I don't want, you know, it's people to think that the military is getting a little, so this is just Mike Mensch, not Lieutenant Colonel in any way.
Right.
But, you know, look at the data trends after a performance and be able to give us something. But right now it's not. Like even in Mongolia or Tajikistan or Chile, we're relying on the embassies, you know, to translate some of those social media posts to show that, yeah, there was a 97% increase in positive comments versus the 90% negative comments that had been going on prior to our performance.
Sure.
It's hard. I wish if somebody out there has a way, I'd love to take it.
Hey, maybe they'll leave their information in the comments. So we've talked about quite a few like one-off experiences, and I think, you know, going back to virality, right? You know, I think probably the most viral experiences or band-related things I've ever seen have been those flash mobs that you've done. Like, I think one at the Air and Space Museum sure. seemed to be very popular. But, you know, we've talked about quite a few one-off type experiences, but are there any specific one-off experiences that you've had that you think were most noteworthy or for their impact or effect?
Yes. And this is my example, and I know that every military band member probably has a variation on the story. And for me, it was when I was enlisted, and I was on a deployment as a trumpet player, and had one of our stops was, this was 2007, so we were in Djibouti, mm-hmm. Africa, and out in the outside of Camp Lemigne, and in the villages, in performing for schools. In December time frame, of course, in Africa, in Djibouti, it's 100 degrees almost all year round because wow. it's right on the equator.
Yeah.
And so we brought three or four flight boxes of candy and soccer balls, and we played maybe just for a little bit and unplugged acoustic instruments out in the elements, and as soon as we made the noise, that's when everybody came. And the village elders and the school teachers and the school kids. And then the next thing you know is we're handing out candy, and then we're playing soccer with the youth. Mm-hmm. And we had Marines as our security. Plainclothes Marines had said they'd never seen anything like that before. That immediate connection to the music is what started it, and then we took the time to put our instruments down and kick a soccer ball or hand out some candy and just spend some time talking with some of the kids that either spoke English or through a translator. And it was one of, you know, a core memory for me as far as what I've done in the military as a musician.
Right.
Yeah, I think a lot of, you know, now as I sit back on the mountaintop and, you know, profess my poetry to the, you know, those willing to climb to meet me.
Oh my goodness.
Oh gosh. 27 years
yeah.
and I'm ready.
Yeah.
But a lot of those one-offs have been in the overseas environment.
Sure.
When you have the ability to take a bubble of American culture and drop it where it doesn't always, you know, belong or have a footing or, yeah. you know, it means so much to different people.
Right.
And so those connections that have always caught me kind of off guard, of the surprise of, oh, you're an American here. Thank you for coming to our country, whether it was in Haiti or Colombia or the Republic of Georgia, or of course, Belarus. And, you know, a 7-hour concert that we had with Colombian Marine musicians in Colombia with 700 Marine students and some dignitaries, and it just went on all night long. And and then the next day we go up into the mountains, and the mayor is welcoming us to his little town and saying, oh, we're so proud that you're here. It's been 3 months since anybody's been kidnapped from the FARC and so we're so excited for you to be here. And like, 3 months, okay, but we're here. And, you know, or, you know, it was any number of concerts where that American culture made a huge impact to people.
Right.
But the one that really stands out for me, you know, as we were talking, military, or especially band commanders, maybe just myself, I came into this job wanting to conduct the world's greatest music with the best musicians possible and just have that opportunity. As a high school band director, you know, it felt like legalized child abuse, where I had to get those kids to play the music the way I wanted to have to be able to conduct it, because I was the conductor. And
right.
I came into the military, and now I'm conducting that music, and I don't have to teach them F sharp or F natural. And,
sure.
and you know, they're just playing it. And so, oh, I'm the greatest thing ever. And about 9 months into me feeling that way and all pompous and everything, and finally having the best job in the world, I get asked to accompany a, a ceremonial band from Lackland Air Force Base up to Austin, Texas, where there was going to be a reunion of some sorts, and we were tasked to play two marches and the national anthem for them. It was a what we called a patriotic opener.
Okay.
Wow. And it was a Saturday morning. I was going to give it, giving out free time. I was, it's an hour and a bit up the bus up to Austin. And so we're riding up on the bus, and the director of operations said, hey, before we left, they called and said, you know, they'd like you to play a little bit more than just two marches and the anthem. I'm like, no, two marches, an anthem, and let's get out of here.
Right.
I've got to mow the lawn. So we get up there, we get there a little bit early, and the band's getting things ready, pulling their instruments off of the bus. And it was really a very nondescript hotel on the outskirts of Austin. And so I walk into the lobby, and they have pictures of the reunion group hanging and displayed in the lobby. And so I start looking at it, and I'm not a military historian, I'm not a World War II historian, but I'm recognizing as I look from photo to photo to photo that these men are suffering. And as I'm reading captions, a word does spark, you know, a reference to maybe a movie or something that, and it was the Bataan Death March survivors. Mm. And this was a national reunion for the Death March survivors. Mm. And then it kind of clicked on me that, you know, it's not about me being disadvantaged for a Saturday afternoon to come, mm-hmm. have to come up here and play for them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's that I have the opportunity to thank them for their service and show them that the service who is active today still is thinking about them and would not be able to do what we do if it wasn't for them.
Yeah.
So yeah, we played a few more marches for them and gave them, you know, the rousing salute that they deserved. And they were extremely appreciative, and it changed my life, you know, after that, and how I use music to connect with people and why music exists to connect. And it's no longer ever about me or, you know, the greatness of the musicians. It's how can we showcase through the music that we're presenting to you that everybody who wears this uniform or one that looks like mine is this amazing and has this much sacrifice and dedication to give back to their, you know, country, and their service. So, yeah, it changed my. That's the one that I will never forget.
Okay, great. Well, thank you for sharing that story. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Well, we've got another question from one of our Michaels, which from social media. So, Michael, thank you for all the questions. Appreciate it. How important do you think it will be for military bands to leverage social media to support communication objectives in the future? So obviously, you know, bands are leveraging social media now, but where do you see social media playing a role for bands in the future going forward?
You got this?
Yes, sir. It's part and parcel with how social media ebbs and flows. And I think both the band world and the PA world, all services tiptoed and you know, went through the kiddie pool into social media, and then quickly just jumped in the deep end and with the information that just flows.
Yeah.
And I think that we will continue to use social media through amplify bosses' priorities, or to again to shape an environment of information, or something that perhaps is going to be on the virtual side of the house, like you talked about the flash mobs. That's a thing that has kind of gone away in the last, you know, 5 or 6 years as far as the popularity. But the next thing is coming, and I think and I feel like that Air Force bands and military bands are much less apprehensive to try to the next thing, whether it's, you know, now it's a shorter bite or a reel where it's a 15-second bite versus a 55-minute PBS style concert that we might have grown up with. And there's a lot more flexibility and a lot more appetite to break a few eggs and see if it works. And if not, then adjust fires and try again.
Yeah. I'd say that, you know, considering the overall popularity of music in social media and short form vertical video, you're right for, you know, being able to leverage and take advantage of those platforms to, you know, quickly accelerate the music mission of the Air Force and the military.
Yeah, or at least provide music for, again, you know, as we've been discussing this hour, is music is a platform for the delivery of something else.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, you know, I've been a slow adopter, but, you know, now I find myself, on an early Saturday morning, waking up with the dogs at 4:30 and it being 9 o'clock and I'm still flipping through because it's caught me, darn it. But I think there is still a place for the long form art that we do at both as public affairs and musicians. You cannot tell me that if somebody comes to one of our concerts and, you know, and I present the music in such a way that it, you know, every piece presents itself because of everything that happened prior. And the only thing that could possibly happen is the next piece. And that story is told. Mm-hmm. People are going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And they're going to come away with it moved so much more than a flip.
Right.
But not everybody is going to be able to see Taylor Swift. Yeah. Not everybody is going to want to go see Taylor Swift. They'd be highly entertained if they did.
Right.
But, you know, maybe they'll catch her in a flip here and there. So we need to be in that space as well.
Not an endorsement necessarily for Taylor Swift.
Thank you.
Okay.
You should have caught me. Usually it's Aerosmith.
Yeah, sure. But, okay.
Yeah.
You know, excuse me. You know, obviously our band members are hired in their primary skill is playing the instrument, but do they do other things and additional duties in addition to playing the instrument for the band?
Yeah, I think they're like at most other career fields, especially in the Air Force. Typically we're not infantrymen first or, you know, that kind of thing that Marines and other services might be, but we have collateral responsibilities, depending on their positions and ranks and developments, they may have opportunities for developmental special duties or any AFSC deployments. You just got done with a language gentleman, and he did really well. Yeah.
The piggybacking on what Colonel said was we are self-contained. The Air Force finds value in us being a primary duty as an airman musician. Of course, we can augment other career fields as necessary at any given time.
Right.
But our specialty, and we're trained to our specialty as musicians.
Yeah.
And the volunteering, as we were talking about, for developmental duties, or we have had some folks that have been military training instructors at basic military training. The example here with the language-enabled airman program, the LEAP program at PACF, and my last assignment, a gentleman, piano player and a music arranger, had come over from the Army into the Air Force, but spoke French very well and volunteered for deployment to Niger. In 2023, and was going to be basically a translator, but once his skill set was known and his maturity level was figured out, he became indispensable to the wing commander there at Air Base 101, and during the time when there was some severe unrest in that country, and he was using his language skills negotiating anything and everything for the safety of the military, American military and coalition military on that base for clean water or getting dirty water out or making sure food supplies were there. And never would have dreamt in a million years when he did that deployment that he would be pushed to the brink, but it made him a better airman for it and brings that experience back into our career field and in the Air Force as a whole as a different person.
Yeah.
So there are opportunities, but the crux of the question is that we are airmen, musicians trained as our primary duty.
Yeah. So one of the big topics that's been buzzing in, you know, our career field as well as many career fields has been artificial intelligence and more specifically generative AI. Now, I know you can't speak to the policies and whatnot. Those are constantly being developed and worked on. But, you know, just generally speaking, where do you think AI sits with regard to communication and specifically as it relates to band? Do you think there's any sort of potential there for its use, or maybe it shouldn't be part of what you're doing? What are your thoughts on that?
As the young guy here.
Well, sure, as the younger guy. AI, I think, has, and like the ChatGPT that is so widely accessible. And I'm impressed, in the, at least on the Air Force side, that they have started their own AI piece. You know, and again, you know, getting to the tip of the spear. The one of the main uses in generative AI so far, there's kind of two tracks. One is to kind of reduce an administration load, maybe it takes 10 or 15 or 20% off, can make it more efficient. If you get the generative piece of it there, which can create free up time for creativity and doing the mission.
Right.
And then the other part of it is, and I've seen it a little bit more of a, like a niche market, a little boutique where there are, it's very person dependent, who's very into the AI world, and sometimes tend, not always, tend to be younger, but it's more natural to their environment,
right,
where you can actually, they'll actually create music or ask AI to do a thing, and they can incorporate that into what they do as human beings. Similar to, you know, I know there's experiments with AI in the cockpit or AI driving tanks. There's still a human element behind it, and that's apples to Volkswagens kind of a combo. But there is the appetite to use it and to not say, no, we are going to stay the human-centered piece of it. AI is coming like a freight train and is here, and it's a matter of using it as a tool to better inform the music and the mission.
But it really is, it's music is a uniquely human-to-human experience.
Right.
And we have the ability to go out and put a face on that military uniform and interact directly with people. And, you know, that's where our bread and butter currently is, and being able to reach out and touch and have them, you know, hug and... you feel that a military member is skin and blood and bones, right?
Right, yeah.
And yes, AI can help us with the creative aspect for that, but boy, I don't want to ever lose the fact that this is a uniquely human experience created by humans in a language that is understood around the world, in a cultural difference that can be shared. And so I know AI is going to continue to shape the world as we see it.
Yeah.
And I hope that we can still, as humans, be willing to stand out in front of it and say, you know, this is who we are.
Yeah, well, you know, the player piano did not replace the need for piano players, and I don't think AI is going to replace the need for human musicians.
Well played.
That is true.
So talk to me about some of the biggest communication challenges you see facing the band and facing what the band will be doing into the future.
Yeah, you know, I think that's unique or a great question. And I think the key for success for the Air Force bands is constantly making sure that we are being relevant in the space. And... you know, I think our makeup and our products and are based in a cultural tradition that allow us to continue this space for a little bit longer, whether it's, you know, Saturday afternoon park concerts with a concert band and an American flag and, the remnants of John Philip Sousa or the rock bands performing down on the riverfront at a evening fireworks show near the 4th of July, or having our woodwind quintets as background music to a meeting between two dignitaries discussing, you know, rights of whether or not we should have power windmills at the end of our runways, right?
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
And but at some point we're going to find a need for us to continue our relevancy in this space, and what that might be. And I think that's going to be one of our challenges moving forward.
Okay, great. Thank you. Anything else?
The communication challenges I think in the future are going to be the same as in the past, where it's what is the, especially in the American public realm, what information do they want? How do they want that information? How do they digest it? How can we adjust music, whether live or virtually, in order to facilitate that? And I think that a PA's communication challenge is going to be the other side of the coin to the band's communication challenge.
Absolutely. Well, gentlemen, we're reaching the end of our program. Before we say goodbye to you, is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I just wanted to say congratulations on 60-year anniversary coming up next.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And thank you so much for allowing our musicians to be part of the schoolhouse here.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for inviting us to be part of your podcast, DINFOS Livecast. So it really has been an honor for me.
Yeah, it's been a great time.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, we got the 60th anniversary coming up, and we'll probably have a band playing at some of our events. So
right on.
Nice. We'll see you.
Yeah, we'll
some
be there.
Of your cadre there. So. All right. Well, thank you for everyone who tuned in to watch our show this month. Really appreciate you. And thank you again to our guests for taking time out to be on the program. We really appreciate your expertise and your knowledge. And thank you for sharing it. I'd also like to thank again everybody who asked their questions online. Really appreciate our live audience and the questions that you've provided. Well, remember, if you prefer to listen to our show rather than watch it, as Colonel Mensch alluded to, we also are a podcast. So if you like audio as your format, just go on to your podcatcher of choice and search for DINFOS Live. Join us here next month on August 28th at 2 p.m. Eastern. We'll have another amazing public affairs-related topic to talk about. Well, for everyone at the Defense Information School and the Defense Media Activity, I'm Major David J. Murphy, and we'll see you all next month.